let's just talk a little bit today about last week. Roy, last week you had one play. Was that was that Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals?
Yes, Arizona.
All right, we're not
going to
go any further, but they, you know, one of the things I did say, and by the way, New Yorkers, you're welcome. You're welcome, because I told you to leave the Giants game alone. I want to say they were, what, 11.5, 12-point favorites over Seattle Seahawks, and the Seattle Seahawks not only came in a trap game and played well, they won outright. And look, I'm a Giant fan, and I'm becoming more and more of a Giant fan as I'm listening to you people. When you go to BruceHallSports.com and find out how you can get in touch with me, drop me a line, whatever you want to do. Roy, let's get started, because I'm pumped. I've been drinking Diet Coke and coffee all morning.
I'm hopped up on Mountain Dew. All right, the first game is Detroit.
Some guy just ran through here and hit my producer.
Detroit -4 over San Francisco. The over-under here is 46.
You know what? We were on Detroit the other night. We were on the over the other night. Didn't hit the over. Hit Detroit big. I love the Lions. Look, you got to love the Lions. This is a very good football team. They're having a great year. You and I were talking, they may have the best offensive and defensive player in the league
right
this year. And I like this game a little bit, but not enough to play it. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, this is a short week for Detroit. They played Monday night. A lot of energy, a lot of stress. Just that game seemed to last 4 hours the other night. I mean, it was, and you know, God, Jay Cutler has got to still be having dark spots on his body showing up with that are bruises, because he was on his back every play. Now, I'm going to say something about Jay Cutler, though. God, what a gamer he was that night. And you like Chicago a little bit. And unfortunately, you think their defense is better than they are. And we're just going to leave it at that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you thought Jay Cutler was a wuss.
He's not a wuss. He caught a lot of rap last year towards the end of the season when he didn't play in the playoffs.
The Detroit corners and defensive backs have got to understand that when they've got a quarterback in trouble like that and he's going backwards, they've got to play tighter and go for the ball. He completed a dozen passes, Roy, in that game when he was laying down.
Yeah.
How do you let him do that? But anyway, and by the way, we won that, and we won that tackling a guy for Chicago on the 2-yard line on the last play of the game. If he gets in the end zone, we don't cover.
That was like the Tennessee Super Bowl a couple years ago.
That's why, young kids, you should only play with toy money. I'm Bruce Hall. This is AM 1230 WFAS. I'm with Roy Boy, Roy G, Roy Edwards. Roy, I'm leaving this game alone. Tell everybody who you like.
I like Detroit. I like Detroit a lot.
Write it down. People, write it down.
Write it down.
Write it down. He likes Detroit. I think San Francisco, there's, you know, nobody ever looks at, they played in a 48-3 game last week.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay doesn't travel that well. They were 8-0 at home last year, 2-6 on the road. San Francisco is drinking the Kool-Aid. I love Jim Harbaugh. I love John Harbaugh. I love Mr. Harbaugh. I love Mrs. Harbaugh. I love that entire family. It's a family full of coaches, and he's got these guys believing. And remember when they traveled earlier this year and spent the week in Youngstown, Ohio, before a game that they won on the road? And they're now 4-1. These two teams last year were 1-9 at this point. Now they're 9-1. Don't tell me the NFL isn't exciting. It's exciting. I just think that on a short week, Detroit might want to take their breath. And they, you know, they may not play as hard and as good as they might want to today. And I think San Francisco basically had a scrimmage last week against Tampa Bay and just kicked the crap out of them, outscoring them by 45 points. I'm leaving this game alone. Oh, God, the guy hit me that time.
Next up, we got Green Bay -14 over St. Louis with the under over at 47.5.
You know, I can't see the Packers playing bad at home. I can see them overlooking St. Louis. And Green Bay is one of those teams you have to be very careful with, because they're going to have a lot of double-digit favorite numbers when they're at home.
This is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points, but you saw St. Louis on more than one occasion. God, they're bad.
They're pretty
bad. Now, they're getting Steven Jackson back 100% today. Mm-hmm. He's going to start, and I'm going to tell you something. Green Bay, I mean, if they block the line of scrimmage well and Green Bay does not, and that Sam Bradford can throw the ball.
But they finally put Danny Amendola, his number one target, on the IR. He's done for the season. Really, all they have left is a Mike Sims-Walker, who they brought in this year, who has gone pretty much unproven.
These guys are all practice squad players, basically. He has nobody to throw to. You know, the Rams are going nowhere fast. Is the coach going to be around next year? It's something everybody's starting to talk about. This is definitely not, you know, not the St. Louis Rams of old that we remember going to Super Bowls and going to the playoffs. I like Green Bay here. Now, let me just tell you what happened in the last 24 hours. The line moved one entire point. It went from 15 to 14. That means that there's a lot of people thinking Green Bay is going to probably let up a little bit on them today. Well, I'm going the other way. I'm taking Green Bay. I'm giving up the 14. I might even include it in a couple of big teasers, because then even if you lose the regular one, you know, you're going to hit your teaser maybe if they win by seven or something. I do like them. God, I love that commercial with Aaron Rodgers when, you know, when they're talking about the belt
check
thing. It's yeah. some
credit check, double check, or whatever.
Yeah, insurance commercial. And the guy goes, I'm a quarterback. He goes, oh yeah, I'm a robot. He had no idea who that guy was. The little nerd.
I love the guy at the end where the guy's wearing the cheese head and he's knocking on the window. Rodgers, double check, credit check.
It's awesome. But listen, I'm going to take Green Bay. I like it for 3 stars. I've got 8 plays today in straight plays, people. And what that means is, you know, I'm 3 stars on everything except 2 plays today. I have 2 4-star plays today. But I like Green Bay. I really like him at home. I like Aaron Rodgers indoors. We hit that, remember?
Yeah, we did.
And, you know, and he didn't have a great game for Aaron Rodgers, but he's gone 5 games this year where his quarterback rating has been over 100. I don't think that's ever happened. I think he's the first quarterback in the history of the NFL, since they've had the quarterback rating at least, to do that. And I'm taking Green Bay. I'm taking them minus the points. I wouldn't touch the over because Green Bay is going to score the majority of points here, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love that.
The next matchup we have here is the Atlanta Falcons -3.5 over the Carolina Panthers. The over-under here is 50.5.
Now, how far has Atlanta fallen, Roy? I mean, in 1 year.
About as far as you can fall, considering they were in the NFC Championship game last year.
Right. They're playing right now, you know, this weekend against a Carolina team that could have won 3 or 4 games already this year. I mean, last week against what I consider to be a good New Orleans Saints team, they literally had 3rd and 2 at midfield and did – well, it wasn't quite midfield. It was like the 40-yard, their own 40-yard line with about 4.5, 5 minutes left in the game. If they get a first down there, they had the lead at that point. They gave the ball back to New Orleans. New Orleans went down and scored, and they won the game. I like Carolina. I'm not going to take them here, but they're the better team. Atlanta, in my opinion, you know, they've almost given up as many yards due to penalties this year. They've given up over half as many as they had all of last year. They're not doing anything right. Do they have some injuries? Yeah. But not, you know, they should be playing much better.
Their big guys are still in the game. They still have the Bernard Turner. They still have Matty Ice. I mean, their big guys are still in the game. They have the minor injuries, yes. But it is just, I don't know if it's a mindset difference. I don't know if they went to the NFC Championship game and just kind of took, hey, we're a great team. I don't know what it was, but they have done a complete 360, and it is not looking good. And who would have thought that at this point in the season that Cam Newton would have more passing yards than Matty Ice?
You know, I've seen Atlanta. I see everybody play every week. Look, I love the NFL Network channel. I love ESPN when they have 2 or 3 shows. NFL Matchup, if you can catch it on Sunday mornings, a great show with Jaws and Haji. But I'm going to tell you, Atlanta last year, they were playing indoors. They were running the ball very effectively with Turner. He doesn't look like the same running back, and that offensive line doesn't look the same either. Defensively is where they've really been hurting. They're giving up an average 99.6 quarterback rating. That's an average, people. And they're giving up 4.9 yards a carry on the ground. If your quarterback's getting you 100 quarterback rating and you're getting 5 yards a clip on the ground, you're going to win a lot of ball games with an average defense. They're 2-3, and there's a reason for it. They're not that good. They're an okay minus the way I handicap teams, and they're not getting any better. Atlanta is going nowhere this year. They're not going to the playoffs.
They could easily be 1-4 too with that Philadelphia Eagles game where Vic got hurt and had to come out of the game.
Absolutely. Don't be surprised if Cam Newton and Carolina go in there and kick their butt. I mean, because let me tell you something. If this was the first game of the season this year, Atlanta would be minus 10, maybe minus 11, because it's a rookie quarterback nobody knows, and it's a Carolina team that won two games last year. Let me repeat that. This is a Carolina team that won two games last year.
Where one of their best players tried to hop ship in Steve Smith.
That's exactly right. And now Steve Smith's the happiest camper anywhere to be found because he's got a kid throwing him the ball every time he's open.
They got spunk. They're looking like a young, fired-up football team.
They're, in my opinion, they're 2 to 3 years away from being a very, very big-time contender. New Orleans is going nowhere, not with Sean Payton down there. Carolina could be the new team. They could replace the team they're playing today. If they beat up on Atlanta today, Atlanta's going to be 2-4. 2-4 teams generally don't make the playoffs.
That's the way this division had gone. In recent years, it was whoever finished last finished first in the division the next year, and we're kind of seeing that again, but like you said, New Orleans is not going anywhere, but it looks like Tampa Bay's down this year, whereas they were up last year, and now Carolina seems to be up on the rise this year, and Tampa Bay down and Atlanta down.
You know, we talk about this a lot, Roy, you and I do, and you know, like Roy and I were going at it. If we'd had boxing gloves, the poor kid would be hurt right now, but because I'm two of Roy, unfortunately. But let me tell you something. You know, schedule means everything. One of the reasons that the Bears are having such a rough time is they've played three good teams already in five games. And, I mean, it's hard to beat teams when your defense is average. You know, it's hard to beat teams when your offensive line is not 100%. I mean, the Bears' offensive line is probably 40%. But my point is that you add a tough schedule to that, you're not going to win any games. Yeah. Last year, Tampa Bay had a very easy schedule. Because, you know, they play their division games, but then everybody else they could beat. They were 8-0 at home, I want to say. They might have been 7-1, but I think they were 8-0 at home, and they were 2-6 on the road. They made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, went one and out, and they were gone. Let's see what's going on.
Next up, we have Cincinnati minus 6.5 over Indianapolis. The over-under here is 40.5.
Now, listen. Yeah, I give Marvin Lewis a hard time. You know, Marvin Lewis came from Baltimore, didn't get the head coaching job here, ends up getting a coaching job he was defensive coordinator for the Ravens back in their Super Bowl year. He ends up getting the head job in Cincinnati. He's made the playoffs, I would say, twice in the last several years. But, you know, they seem to underachieve. They always seem to. Now they got a really good rookie quarterback. And they've got some ball players. They got a guy he's throwing to every week who's A.J. Green, yep. Who's also a rookie.
Yep.
And they've got a good offensive line. And as long as he's not in the who's gal, they've got Cedric Benson carrying the football for him.
Who's looking very good.
Yeah, he does look good. Just because the guy's got some problems, I mean, it doesn't mean he's not a good running back. I mean, O.J. Simpson was a Hall of Famer. And we all know, at least we think we know, what O.J. Simpson did. But Cincinnati is minus 6.5 here. Indy's so bad.
They're very bad.
Their defense, you know, what's happening is they're using a lot of practice players that are being pulled up. They, you know, they've still got their pass rushers, but their pass rushers can't do everything. Mm. And by the way, they can pass rush all they want if I run the ball 35 times a game and I'm getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards clip. I'm going to keep handing the ball off to my running back. If Benson doesn't get 30 carries today, something's wrong.
Indianapolis, even when they were good and were making the playoffs and nobody could touch them, even then they couldn't stop the run. And now they're beat up. Their defense is constantly on the field because their offense isn't getting it done. Now they really can't stop the run.
Yeah, what they were doing, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this year, and their entire idea of what they wanted to do with their football team was outscore everybody, get ahead, and then have fast guys on defense that can keep people out of the end zone with a great pass rush and fast defensive backs and fast safeties. They had Bob Sanders for a few years, and he's basically done
now. Torn bicep every other day.
He's done, and, you know, there's no telling. You know, I would never point a finger at anybody. He's probably clean as he can be. But that was one strong, tough little guy, and he's gone. You know, I was watching film of them yesterday. I want to say it was on AFC matchup on the NFL Network. And I'm going to tell you something. Their teams are running all over these guys. They are just beating them up physically. I should take Cincinnati here, but there's a part of me that said, you know what? This is kind of like the Giant game last week. You know, Seattle came in. I told you to be careful with the Giants. I'm telling you to be careful with Cincinnati here. This is a Marvin Lewis letdown type game.
And this is Curtis Painter's third game now in the system. He's starting to get things. He knows the offense very, very well sitting behind Peyton Manning. I would be weary to see if Curtis Painter doesn't come out and have a big game.
Roy, do you think Indy's going to win a game? I don't think they're going to win one game this year.
I don't see a game that...
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, this is the NFL, any given Sunday kind of thought process, but there's no game that really pops out on their schedule that's, oh, yeah, they're going to win that. So this is one of those games where they could sneak it out. But I think the Bengals are one of the best teams that nobody's talking about.
Well, they have the number one defense in the league. Right now, they have the number one defense in the league, and they're playing maybe the worst offense in the league today.
And if there was no Cam Newton, everyone would be talking about the redhead Andy Dalton. Everybody would be.
Andy Dalton, in my opinion, is one of the top two or three rookie quarterbacks anywhere.
And this is the best rookie pairing in the league right now with Andy Dalton and A.J. Green. I mean, A.J. Green looks like a seasoned veteran superstar right now in Cincinnati.
Well, you know, Cincinnati wins this game. I'm not going to waste any more time on it. I don't like the game. I'm leaving it alone. I want to hit somebody when I hear that.
Next up, we have the New York Football Giants -3.5 over the Buffalo Bills. The over-under here is 50.
Now, let me just tell you something about this line. This is a really neat line because the Giants, basically 3.5, even sometimes some people will tell you certain places are like worth 4 points. I think that Detroit is worth 7 or 8 after what I saw the other night. It gets extremely loud in there. The Giants and the Bills are probably pretty even teams. Buffalo, I think, is a little bit better at this point. They've played better so far this season, but they've got a little different schedule. You know, they're an AFC team. Mm-hmm. Giants are an NFC team. The Giants have one of their top running backs out again this week.
And Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs, you know, you got to have that guy. He's got to touch the ball 10, 15 times a game. He's a monster, but they don't have him. Ahmad Bradshaw last week didn't get nearly enough touches. I guess it was because they played from behind almost the entire game. Mm-hmm. And the offensive coordinator in New York seemed to be just wanting to throw the ball. Now, the Giants didn't do a bad job of moving the ball up and down the field, but Eli threw a couple of picks, and that came back to haunt him. I like Buffalo. I'm not playing the game because this is a perfect example of how Tom Coughlin will come in here and get these guys ready this week. You know, it was a big letdown last week. I don't know how Coughlin does it, but it seems like the Giants never usually lose two or three games in a row, certainly at home.
Now, the Giants have been beat up all year, and this is another example of when their superstars are kind of out of the game, and Justin Tuck not going to play today. We talked about Brandon Jacobs not going to be there. Chris Sneegard not going to be there. So, you know, this is a beat-up New York Giants team who's coming in here, but like you said, they have a lot to play for. They don't lose a lot in a row, and it's at home.
Yeah, you know what I'm taking here? I'm taking the over. The over is anywhere between 49 and 50 and a half, depending on where you are, probably. I'm taking the over here. I like both teams putting some points up on the board in this game. I think it's going to be a real exciting game to watch. I think that if you're anywhere near the Meadowlands and you've got a few dollars in your pocket, you need to sneak over there and see if you can find a ticket outside and go to this ball game. I just love good football. I don't care who wins these games. All I do is handicap them. It's all I do. And I'm going to tell you right now, this one's too close to call.
Next up, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers -12.5 over the Jacksonville Jaguars with the over-under at 40.
Well, Pittsburgh, they woke up last week, and they played a good game. You know, they moved the football. I think Ben Roethlisberger if you're a fantasy guy and you had Roethlisberger last week, you were – probably winning some.
I did
some ducats.
I had
right?
Roethlisberger last week, and I lost.
Five touchdowns, and you lost your game.
I lost my week.
Yeah. Oh my God! Well, anyway, they're at 12.5. Depends on which casino you're at. It depends on where you're located. If you're in Pittsburgh, you're probably 14. I'm gonna say right now that there's no way Pittsburgh loses this game. Jacksonville really is struggling.
Yeah.
Jack Del Rio, you know, we talked about this at the first show, and we talk about it not every week, but because I don't like to beat a guy when he's down. But Jacksonville doesn't sell out every game. It's basically South Georgia. There's not a lot going on in Jacksonville. They've got Maurice Jones-Drew. You call him the Maurice Jones-Drews because he's one of the best players in the entire NFL. What a weapon this guy is. But last week, he didn't touch the ball that much.
No, and, he had 19 carries for 85 yards.
Yeah, you got to give him the ball more than that, especially with a rookie quarterback, especially with a rookie. Now, Blaine Gabbert might be a good quarterback one day, but he's a far cry right now from Cam Newton and Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see anything happening here. A lot of people here will take the Steelers. You like the Steelers.
I like the Steelers. The points are a little bit weary here, but I do like the Steelers. Last week, we sat here and we talked about how we thought Chris Johnson was going to have this breakout game last week, and we both took Tennessee. We were both on Tennessee over the Steelers last week, and Chris Johnson came out and ran for 51 yards, and the Steelers completely shut him down. And now we see the exact same kind of matchup where it's just a running back and Maurice Jones-Drew, and it's kind of hard to think that the Steelers' defense can't stop one running back when you know they're going to put eight in the box.
I tell you what, Pittsburgh is also a team. It's like a club team. These guys are close. You know, they've been through a lot of wars together, and they're starting to feel pretty good, I think, right now. They need the win desperately. Jacksonville, who knows what they're thinking. But if you're going to play this game, you've got to take Pittsburgh. Personally, I'm passing on the game, but that's just me. If you like Pittsburgh here, please don't let me talk you out of it. God, I love that sound.
Next up, we have the Philadelphia Eagles -3 over the Washington Redskins. The over-under here is 47.
Well, you know what? We're going to take a lot of time talking about this game because this may be the biggest game in the NFC today. Washington is in first place. The Washington Redskins haven't really done that much on the offensive side of the ball, but they, you know, Roy, we're both from that area.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, this is the best defense that we've had on the field in a long, time.
Mm-hmm.
And can we stop the Philadelphia Eagles from scoring? Probably not. But I think we can limit their production. I think the Redskins, Jim Haslett and his defense has got – they're coming off a bye week, first of all. Mm-hmm. So they're healthier than they've ever been, except D'Angelo Hall may not play today. He must have got hurt in practice sometime this week because he's questionable. He was questionable yesterday, and now they're saying it's going to be a game-time decision. For all we know, he fell down a flight of stairs or fell in his pool. I have no idea. Guy that makes $14 million a year doesn't invite me over to his house very much.
Yeah.
So, especially D'Angelo Hall, because I've had a lot of bad things to say about him, even though I'm pretty sure that we're related way down the line, because my name is Hall.
But, it could be. That is a very valid point there.
Now, let me just tell you something. When I handicap, let me tell you how I handicap. Sunday evenings, when all the games are over, even after the Sunday night game is over, I look at every game matchup for the next week. And I handicap every game. I've been doing this for 35 years. And what I do is I handicap each game. I have a favorite. I figure out what the point spread should be, and I go down it. Last week, I had Washington as a 3.5-point favorite at home, which makes sense. Against a Philly team that's 1-4 and is turning the ball over like it's an epidemic. Guess what, people? That line went to Washington getting 3 today. I'm taking the Redskins. I'm taking them for 4 stars. That's my biggest play today, a 4-star play. And I'm going to go to that game in the second quarter, and I'm going to watch the second and third quarters. Then I'm going to get in my truck, and I'm going to drive home and listen to Sonny Jurgensen and Sam Huff do the fourth quarter. Then I'm going to watch Red Zone for the rest of the day. Then I'm going to watch the Sunday night game. I think the Redskins win this game. I don't see any reason that they can't. The difference in this game right now is Mike Vick. Rex Grossman has done a decent job for Washington, but he makes everybody nervous because Rex isn't the most talented guy in the world. He doesn't have the best arm in the world. He doesn't read as good as a lot of quarterbacks do, but he's got guts. You got to give him that. Mike Vick's probably, would you say 80%, 85%? He is so banged up.
He's been banged up all year. And last year, if you look at the two games they played last year, when the Redskins took out Mike Vick in Philly, the Redskins won. When Mike Vick came into Washington on that Monday night, and they called it the Monday Night Massacre.
Right.
Then the Eagles completely blew out the Redskins, which was the last time that these two teams played. So
yeah.
Mike Vick is obviously the go-to guy here. The game lays on Mike Vick's shoulders.
And let me just remind you that last year the Redskins were horrible. I mean, they weren't anywhere nearly the same team they are. Well, let's give Mike Vick his due, though. Last week he rushed for 90 yards and he threw for 315 yards. That's superhuman. But he also turned the ball over four times.
Yeah.
And that's not counting fumbles. I don't think he lost a fumble, but I think he put the ball on the ground once or twice. He can't do that. Now, last year, Mike Vick left the game against the Redskins. On about the half-yard line, he got drilled, and he got hit right in the ribs, and he was out for the rest of the game. London Fletcher is a great football player. He's a lot. You know, London Fletcher and Big Ray in Baltimore have all of the same attributes. They're great leaders. They're very physical. Not, you know, don't have the most, you know, they're not the fastest guys. They're certainly not the most athletic guys. They just know how to win football games. I'm going to tell you right now, the Redskins are going to keep these guys. They're going to keep the Redskins in the game. And whoever gets to 27 points first probably wins this game. I love the over here. The over here is 47 points. It's going to take, the winner of this game is probably going to have a three in front of them. It's probably going to be 31-28, 31-24, you know, 31-30. It's going to be a very exciting game. Both offenses have playmakers. And let me just tell you, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles can't stop anybody from running the football.
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say, can the Philadelphia Eagles stop the run? And the answer there is clearly no. And Tim Hightower was hurt. He's been a little banged up. He's coming back today. They expect him to play. But the Redskins also have a guy named Ryan Terrain who is back and running just like he did last year. And he's carrying the rock, which is causing almost a running back controversy here in Washington.
Ryan Terrain is a ball player, no question about it. And he had a great game his last start before the bye week. The Eagles have given up a 104.3 average quarterback rating. I mean, that's like Tom Brady playing against you every week.
And they're supposed to have the dream team cornerbacks.
And they don't. And they're catching a lot of crap because their former offensive line coach is now their defensive coordinator, and he's catching a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Look, the guy's a great coach, but he's probably not a DC.
No.
That was Andy's fault. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if they hired somebody. I don't know if they hired somebody, and it didn't work out with him, and they couldn't get him signed or whatever. But this guy, you know, this guy will figure it out sooner or later. But I just don't think they've got the horses. They've got the smallest linebackers in the league.
Yeah.
They've got their linebackers play the pass worse than anybody around.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's going to make Rex Grossman look good on the field, it's going to be the Eagles secondary, in my opinion. Roy, I think the Redskins win this game, and I think that there's plenty of points scored. So I'm taking the points for 5 stars, and I'm taking the Redskins for 4 stars. Let's talk just a little bit too right now about Mike Vick. Here's a guy that's basically thrown a bunch of guys under the bus recently.
Yeah,
he came back and said he really didn't mean it. There's a lot of guys. Supposedly, there's been a lot of talk in the locker room with the Philadelphia Eagles about changes that are going to be being made. Supposedly, they're bringing in a defensive consultant.
Yeah,
you know, to speak to the coordinator about changes that he'd want to make here, you know, with the team. This is never a good thing.
No,
we've had defensive consultants in Washington on several occasions in the past tenure of our wonderful owner Dan Snyder here in Washington, and I'm telling you, when the consultant shows up, somebody ends up leaving sooner or later. Is Andy Reid going to be able to stay on in Philly? Or is Andy Reid maybe looking at, if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, maybe it's a great time for Andy to leave? I'm Bruce Hall. This is 1230 AM WFAS, and we're out of here for
just
news.
Just a break. We'll be on the other side. We're talking to more football on the other side here on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we're back on the other side. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G.
And I'm Bruce Hall, and we're back from a break. Thank goodness we're ready to go.
We're bringing it here, and the first game that we got coming up here is the Baltimore Ravens -7 over the Houston Texans with the over-under at 45.
Well, I got to tell you, Last week I was on Houston. That was the only you gave me credit for being against Philly and on Tennessee, but I don't think I was on Tennessee last
week. Oh, the Tennessee over the Steelers, right?
Yeah, I think you did. But I was on Houston at home against Oakland. And, you know, even with Al Davis passing away, I knew there'd be emotion, but Houston outplayed them. I mean, they controlled the ball 35 minutes of the game.
And should have won.
They just turned the ball over. There was a couple of – one was at the end of the game, and it really didn't matter. But Matt Schaub is becoming kind of he's the guy that they have to rely on to get them to the playoffs this year, and he's the guy – he's a University of Virginia grad, by the way. And he's the guy that not only has to get him to the playoffs, but he's got to deliver when he gets there. But what I'm hearing out of Houston with a lot of people, with beat writers, with players, with a lot of different people that I know, is that they're starting to like not trust Matt Schaub. All of a sudden, they're starting to see things that they've seen 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. When there's pressure on him, he doesn't seem to do as well. In the fourth quarter, he doesn't seem to do as well. He's got his number one receiver and one of the top receivers in the league out, Andre Johnson, this week. Mm-hmm. Chris, that's correct. I mean, he's out. He's pretty much out for a while.
Yeah.
And he's
hamstring injury.
And also, Mario Williams.
On the defensive side,
his
yeah.
defensive end, who's a monster. And I think Mario's playing linebacker technically, but he's a defensive end by trade. They're going to have – I mean, these are two guys they cannot replace. Now, Schaub – and their offensive coordinator can work on a few things, you know, throwing the ball up the middle of the field a little bit to the tight ends. So, yeah. They can get more people involved, but they're going to be able to double anybody they want and take pretty much everybody else away. What I heard from – I have a lot of respect for Charlie Casserly, and you can go online and hear Charlie. Charlie used to be the GM of Houston. He was a GM here in Washington. He's a good guy. He knows what he's talking about. He seems to think that the Texans are going to have some problems with the blitz packages that the Ravens throw at them. The Ravens have a very, very unique defense. They can do a million different things because they're so athletic. Now, they've got guys out. Their two starting corners still are not playing.
Mm-hmm.
But they plug guys in and they play great.
They do. The Ravens have always been known for their defense. Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis are two of the best in the league. Still, even Ray Lewis, being as old as he is still one of the top linebackers in the league. And these guys fly around. They move around. They disguise very well. This defense is something that you really have to prepare for and really go into.
You know, I was there. You know, I probably like the Ravens this year a little more than you because we were both at the same game. After our first show, we both went to the Steelers-Ravens game. You and I, we were in opposite end zones. And I want to tell you something. I saw what they put on Pittsburgh, and I'm not going to forget it anytime soon.
No.
I am not going to forget it.
The Steelers aren't going to forget it either.
And by the way, you can go, if you want to see how I'm doing on a regular basis, you can go to my website, brucehallsports.com. You can also go to nhbowl.com, NHBOWL.com. That's the National Handicappers Bowl. If you go there now, I was all over both pages last week. I had a pretty good week last week. It's the best week I've had so far this season. I'm hoping to duplicate it this week, but it's a totally different week. I'm going to be on 8 straight plays, 4 totals, but I'm not playing any plays for 5 stars. I like 8 or 9 or even 10 games this week, but I don't like them a lot. And that's where I'm at. But I am taking the Baltimore Ravens. I love the Ravens here, and I'll tell you why. Houston is reeling after last week.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Stradley is their beat reporter. It's a lady. She's really, really nice. Very smart woman. I read her all the time, and she's not feeling real good about this week either. I think they're pretty nervous coming in here. I just think that Baltimore is going to have something for them this weekend. And I think that Houston probably will win that division and go to the playoffs because, you know, that's not a strong division this year.
No, it's
not. I mean, Indy's not there.
Peyton Manning, there's no Peyton Manning, then this division is really up for grabs. There's two things that I like about the Houston Texans.
Right.
Coming into this week, they get Ben Tate back, who as of so far is their leading rusher.
Right.
Arian Foster, they're talking about moving him to the slot, throwing a couple screen passes his way, which it doesn't make up for the loss of Andre Johnson, but it sure as doesn't help. It doesn't hurt. I'm sorry. Kevin Walter is still an acrobatic catcher, receiver.
Right.
We have seen him show up in multiple top plays this year, and Jacoby Jones is nothing to sleep on either.
No, you know, their special teams with Jones, they have the best return teams in football right now. They're averaging like over 40 yards a kickoff return. And that's because they've taken one to the yard, but that also is because that they generally return what kicks they are able to return and give them good field position on a regular basis. You know, last week, Houston outgained the Raiders like 473 yards to 278. But it was the turnovers that hurt them a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, this week, I don't see them, if they thought it was bad against the Raiders at home, it's just going to be worse this week against the Ravens. I'm taking Baltimore for 4 stars. And you know what? The total is 45. If Houston is going to be competitive today, they're going to have to do 2 things, Roy. They're going to have to run the football effectively with Arian Foster, and they're going to have to keep 8 and 9 out of the box defensively by the Ravens by throwing the football. Mm-hmm. The winner of this game could very well get 30 or more points. You can take the over here for a small play if you'd like. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Did you get... God, I thought that guy hit you.
Next
you
up,
all right?
Next up, we have the Oakland Raiders -6.5 over the Cleveland Browns. The over-under here is 44.5.
You know, if you go to my website and look at my blog and you're going down all the, you know, at brucehallsports.com, you can go there 24/7 and peel off pretty much what I've got going on today. You'll see that I wrote the least amount on this game here. You know, I listen to a Cleveland sports show every morning because a buddy of mine's on there. And I got to tell you something. Even they don't think much of Cleveland. You know, the Cleveland Browns, in my opinion, don't have a very good football team.
No, they don't.
You know, they're struggling. Shermer's, you know, he's a rookie coach, but there's not much happening there. You know, Colt McCoy is a good quarterback, but he's not a big guy. And if you don't protect Colt McCoy, he's going to get some pretty nervous feet. Oakland, on the other hand, they're at home this week.
They are.
Cleveland's got to travel to the Black Hole, and there's going to be a ton of fans there. And this is the real tribute to Al Davis, because if you remember, Al Davis died last Saturday. So really, there wasn't a whole lot that could happen.
Yeah.
You know, there were you know, a moment of silence in all the stadiums.
They put a couple stickers
on
the back of
the helmet. A lot of people that hated him pretended like he was a nice guy. A lot of people that loved him really, you know, were the people you wanted to listen to. He was a player's owner. He was a player's coach. He stood for the players. He didn't care about the NFL. He didn't care about ownership. He designed the NFL. He's the reason the NFL is as successful as it is, you know, with all those early teams and his love for the game. And I hope Oakland not only wins this game, I hope they destroy the Cleveland Browns today, because I'm not real big on these guys. I'm taking Oakland. Now, you disagree with me, Roy.
Now,
you liked the Browns when I got in here this morning, but you might have still been half asleep. I didn't have your Diet Coke and your snacks and all that stuff.
I don't like the Browns to win. I like the Browns to cover. I'm still not sold on Jason Campbell. Darren McFadden is the truth. He is. He is.
This guy's
the truth.
A freak.
The guy is the Oakland, yep, Raiders. Now, if you can somehow slow him down and make Jason Campbell throw the ball, then we're talking here. And that's the only thing. That's the only thing that I like here, is that if the Cleveland Browns cover.
Hayward Bay got a touchdown last week.
He did,
and he was the first round draft choice of Al Davis.
Al Davis.
People were
picks,
wondering,
yeah,
what kind of hallucinogens Al was on, you know, before draft day when he decided Hayward Bay was going to be the, yeah, guy on the board he wanted. But he's starting to look better.
Hayward Bay out of
the University of Maryland.
That's right,
not too far from here, College Park. Who by the way, if you like college football, one of the teams I've been on all year is Clemson, and they ended up covering right at the end. They ended up beating Maryland, scoring twice. Now I'm taking Oakland today. I love the Oakland Raiders in this game.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win by 20 to 24 points. I'm not taking the over because I don't know if Cleveland's going to score. I really don't think they're going
to
score.
It's hard to really like the Browns, especially when Peyton Hillis is their leading rusher with 197 yards. I mean, that's a good game for Darren McFadden.
And he doesn't have a contract. He's their best offensive player, and he doesn't have a contract.
It's basically hard.
He's signed through this year, but he wants some long-term, you know, money.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame the guy.
It's not that I don't like the Raiders in this game. It's that I am not sure. I'm not sold on the Raiders. I'm not sure that
that's just because Jason Campbell's their quarterback.
It is. Next up, we got New England -6.5 over the Dallas Cowboys.
This is going to be the best game of the day.
The over-under is 55.
This is going to be the best. Look, I don't care where you are. You need to TiVo this game. You need to tape this game. This is going to be the best game of the weekend, and I'm going to tell you why. You know I hate the Cowboys, Roy, right?
Yes.
You don't, you're not fond
of them. I think I've heard
of,
that.
you're not fond of them. I hate the Cowboys. You know, my team most of my life has been the Redskins, but I got to tell you something. They're a good enough team to score 30 to 40 points on this New England team, and you agree with me.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, they have no defense.
Zero.
Now, they figure out neat little things to do. They got the best defensive coach maybe in the history of pro football in Bill Belichick. He's their head coach. But they've got practice squad players. They've mm-hmm. got guys that are dinged up and injured.
They've got Albert Haynesworth.
Who may or may not play this week.
That's what I mean.
They've got like 30 guys on the injured list. If you look at the injury list, I mean, there's everybody's either probable, questionable, or doubtful. They've got about five out for the game. New England should win this game, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Tony Romo, that's right, I don't stutter and my ears don't flap. Tony Romo wins this ball game for Dallas. Dallas has it. Now, look, I've got both of these teams. I was trying to teach Roy something about handicapping today, and he looked at me like I had three heads. But I have both of these teams rated as okay double plus. You know, the Cowboys have rushed for more yardage than they've given up. They've thrown for more yardage than they've given up. They've just figured out every way possible for their quarterback to lose a lead.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, they're talented. I made the statement not long ago that everybody in the NFC East could end up 8-8.
That's true.
I still believe that, only mm-hmm. I'm starting to see signs of maybe the Redskins being 9-7 or even the New York Giants being 9-7. But my point I'm trying to make here is Dallas could be 10-6 or 11-5 with the talent that they have.
They've already given away two games in the Jets game and the Detroit game. Complete just layovers.
And Detroit is a good football team.
Yes, they are.
We both agree on that. I like Dallas getting all those points today. I do. This is a great dog here. New England, they've won 19 in a row at home.
That's yeah. Right? That was the deciding factor when we talked about this, when we were saying.
And he's thrown for 300 mm-hmm. yards 13 games in a row, which mm-hmm. is an NFL record.
And he's only thrown one interception in the red zone at home.
And that was last week.
And it was last week.
Yeah, and they made a point of telling us that 50 times. Yeah. But you know, you never know who's going to be coming on and when they're going to be coming on. You know, you're going to think I'm crazy. The line went from 54 to 55.5 on the total. I'm still taking the over.
Now,
I'm taking the over. The winner here scores 40 points. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
It's beautiful up there.
Now, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has a toe injury, and they have him as questionable on the site, but a toe injury is a serious injury when you're dealing with a running back.
Hey, if it was Ronnie Lott, he'd just say, cut it off.
Yeah.
Cut the toe off. It's a problem. Cut it off. Now, let me tell you, a toe can be a problem on artificial turf,
mm-hmm.
and pretty sure it's not artificial turf in Foxborough. If it, you know, it's natural turf. And let me just tell you this. I see the New England Patriots going up and down the field on this Dallas team. Now, Dallas does have a pretty decent pass rush, but they haven't really hit their prime this year yet. You know, the Pats don't have a pass rush. Not at all.
No.
They don't cover well at all. You know, they've got good corners, but a lot of them have been dinged up. I'm going to take Dallas plus the points here for 4 stars. I don't like them enough to go 5 stars, but I'm also taking the over for 4 stars. I love this game. I just do. I mean, 13 games in a row when he's thrown for 300 yards or more. But you know who was coaching the defense the last time he threw for under 300 yards? I know you know the answer to this.
It's Ryan.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's Rob Ryan. Yeah. Rob Ryan was Cleveland's defensive coordinator.
And that was the last time that the Patriots were held under they were held to 14 points. I believe it was the last time they were held to 14 or fewer points.
He did it with a defense where he had everybody standing up. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you about that. A lot of people will say, well, he'll just do it again. Mm. Belichick figured that out real fast. And if they go to that, They'll know exactly where to go with the ball. It'll be 21-0 before you even know it, that there's a game on. Hey, by the way, I'm Bruce Hall, and this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm with Roy Edwards, Roy Boy, Roy G, whatever you want to call him over here. Go to BruceHallSports.com and follow us on my webpage. I've got a little blog on there, and you can kind of follow what where we're trying to go. We're talking about what we think is going to be the best game of the year, which is the Dallas Cowboys and New England Patriots. And please, TiVo it. If you go to another ball game, if you're like you're going to the Giant game, call home and get mom to TiVo the game. You know, make sure that you can watch this thing.
Throw in a VHS, record that thing.
Yeah, and for, you know, this may even be a 4 o'clock game for all I know, but I'm pretty sure it's a 1 o'clock game today.
Next,
love
up,
that sound.
Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
We got the New Orleans Saints -6 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The over-under here is 49.5.
How can you be feeling good about yourself when you just got beat 48-3 6 days ago?
You can't.
Yeah. You know what?
You just got to pray that the football gods have some mercy on you.
Tampa Bay has a very, you know, Rasheem Morris is a very good head coach. He's a young guy. He's younger than some of the players, a lot of the players in this league. New Orleans has a great head coach in Sean Payton. They have a great quarterback in Drew Brees. They have great guys they plug in everywhere. They've got a great defensive coordinator in Greg Williams. They got a lot of great everything. As a matter of fact,
they got your boy from the free agency pickup at running back.
Darren Sproles.
That's right. There
I love
it is.
Darren Sproles. But anyway, Tampa Bay is only getting 4.5 points here against New Orleans in Tampa. Now, the last two games in Tampa, New Orleans has won by a combined score of 69-13. At least that's what my people tell me. Let me tell you something. Look for more of the same. You don't get over 48-3 getting the crap knocked out of you in 1 week. They probably didn't even wake up from that until Thursday or Friday, and then they were doing walkthroughs. Tampa also has a couple of their best players out. They got LeGarrette Blount,
yep,
the guy that punched out a guy on national TV from Boise State a couple years ago. He is a great running back, and he's a beast. He's out for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so is McCoy, their defensive tackle. This guy is for real. You don't lose two players like that, very similar to the Texas game. They lost their two best players. They lost an offensive and a defensive guy just like that. You don't lose guys like that and plug somebody in and win right away.
No.
I'm looking for New Orleans to cover this point spread. I'm going to only play them for 3 stars, but I'm taking the New Orleans Saints here. I love them. Gerald McCoy, I'm telling you, you know, a lot of people, if you're playing ball in Tampa, a lot of people don't even know your name. Gerald McCoy, he was a first-round draft pick. They love him there.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs, they're giving up an average of 100 quarterback ratings so far this week, and they're facing Drew Brees. Drew freaking Brees. Drew Brees is unbelievable. And evidently they like playing in the stadium because, you know, it's a divisional game. Right, Roy?
Yeah.
And as all head coaches know, divisional games, I get a win, that's a full point in the standings.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to beating up on these guys. Look for New Orleans to win this game by at least 10, maybe 14 to 21 points. I love that.
Next up, we have the Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
-2.5 over the Minnesota Vikings. The over-under here is 41.5.
If Roy wasn't like the son of one of my oldest and best friends, I would have probably choked him to death before the show started because he was trying to tell me that the Bears had a good defense. All you got to do is pick up a USA Today Weekly and look at the stats. The Bears are giving up 5.7 or 9 yards per carry. They're giving up a quarterback rating of like over 100, I'm pretty sure. They're pretty horrible. We saw them play as absolutely well as they could. And I got to tell you something. The Bears did show up to play Detroit. Because I would say that dome, Ford Field, I wanted to call it the Carrier Dome. They blew that up.
And it was loud in there.
Yeah, it was real loud. And I got to tell you, but that home field advantage is not 3 points. That's like 7 points.
Yeah, I mean,
they had 9 illegal procedure false start penalties in the first period. It's an NFL record.
Wasn't it 12 total?
Yeah, but it's an NFL record. Nobody will ever do 9.
That's ridiculous.
Again. Yeah, you know, just don't go until you see the ball move. You know, I don't understand what the problem is. That's how we coach our offensive guys anyway. Look down the line at the ball, see the ball. When it moves, you go. But I got to tell you something. I like, you know, last week, I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure I was on Minnesota. If I wasn't on Minnesota, I was on the Vikings last week. And I got to tell you, I like them this week too, because I think they figured out what they got to do. They handed the ball to Adrian Peterson, finally.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about last week. We were saying that we didn't know why they weren't giving the ball to Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's dad didn't know why they weren't giving the ball to Adrian Peterson. And last week, it finally clicked that, hey, if we give this guy the ball, he's going to score us some points. And he had 3 touchdowns last week.
You know, Cutler has been sacked 18 times so far in 5 games this year. The Vikings front 7 has 16 sacks already this year. This is going to be a game where the Vikings do put some. Jared Allen's got like 8 and 7 games, or his last 7 games, he's got 8 or 9 sacks. I'm telling you right now, the Vikings are going to give Chicago all they want here. It's a divisional game. They're coming off of a big win against Roy's Arizona Cardinals. And I got to tell you, I like them here in Chicago. Chicago's coming off a short week. I think Minnesota covers the spread. I'm not touching the total.
Next, we have the New York Jets. Jets.
Look,
-6.5 over the Miami Dolphins. The over-under here is 42.
Hey, let me tell you something about Tony Soprano or whatever the hell his name is. He's 3-0 lifetime against New York football teams. 3-0. Maybe he is a Soprano. I don't know. Maybe they're handling all of that. I don't know. All I know is Matt Moore is the 16th quarterback to start for the Dolphins since 2000. And they had one quarterback for 15 years named Dan Marino. You know, I just don't think, you know, the Jets defense is decent still, but their offense is vanilla and soft.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm going to release the Jets here. I don't want to.
But the Dolphins are terrible.
They're so bad. They've given up a 105.4 quarterback rating. I mean, even Sanchez can move the football. I like the Jets here. I'm taking the Jets. If you're a Jets person, love me and love the Jets, because I'm going to hang with them for tomorrow. I like this. Brandon Jacobs has promised he's going to unleash his inner beast this weekend.
Brandon Marshall.
I'm sorry, of
the Dolphins. You're talking about how
I wrote Brandon Jacobs.
He said he was going to get kicked out in the second quarter of this game.
Yeah, and did you hear what Rex said? Rex said, that's fine. Look, let me summarize. And by the way, Jets minus the points against one of the leaders in the Andrew Luck pool.
That's exactly what the Miami Dolphins are playing for.
Indianapolis is going to get him, and Peyton's going to be done forever.
Peyton's going to throw a fit.
He's done forever. I'm just telling you. You don't come back from a neck. Here we go. I'm going to summarize my picks right now. Get a pen. Green Bay for 3 stars. The Baltimore Ravens for 4. Oakland for 3 stars. Dallas for 4 stars. Minnesota for 3. Jets for 4. The over in New Orleans, Tampa Bay for 3. The over Redskins. Oh, Redskins for 3. Skins over Philly for 5. Giants Buffalo for 4. The over in Atlanta, Carolina for 4. And Dallas, New England, over 55.5 in the first half. This is Bruce Hall.
I'm Roy G. This has been AM 1230 WFAS.
And TiVo that game like I told you to. What's your name, baby? Maybe.